welcome exceptional women to the Trailblazers Business Podcast for Women, your go-to spot to receive the real about being a boss. I am your host, Dr. Michelle S. Thomas, multiple minority business owner and proud founder CEO of the Exceptional Woman Enterprise. Each episode will give you valuable insights on building the confidence you need to succeed. Sit back, relax, and let's learn to be loud and proud about what we bring to this world of business. 3, 2, 1, yeah! Welcome back to Trailblazers Business Podcast for Women. I am your host, Dr. Michelle S. Thomas, and today we're going to ask the question, who told you that? In today's episode, we want to talk about some of the misconceptions or the myths that tend to create barriers for our success, not because we can't execute them, but because we are trying to execute something that is not naturally developed for who we are and how we operate. On last week's session, we talked about the topic was, pardon me, I'm going through some things. And in that episode, I discussed about how we have a tendency, because we need blueprints, everyone needs some sort of example or something to a guide to help you navigate all of the moving pieces of building your empire. We have a tendency that we look at someone else's blueprint and we try to execute it exactly the way that they did it. So we're building our empire in someone else's footprints. So to continue in that process, I want to unpack and get you thinking about who told you that. One of the biggest barriers that I had when I first started out with this speaking thing was how I spoke. Now, for some people that may be like, what is she talking about? I am, if you haven't noticed, I'm a Southern lady. I grew up in the South, and throughout my career and throughout my husband's jobs, we have moved through multiple different regions. One thing that stood out for me when I entered into a new region is someone always had something to say about how I spoke. When I moved to Texas, so now I'm in the Southwest, and they have a different dialect than what we have in the South. I stood out when I spoke, because one of my first jobs was to be a corporate trainer. And so as people were being hired into the company that I worked for, one of the biggest companies that was in the region, it was my job to train them on the processes of the company. And without fail, somebody would always interrupt my plan, you guys. Like, I had this great training program. I knew it. I executed right. But there's always going to be somebody sitting in the audience that raises their hand to ask me, where are you from? For real? Is that where we're at right now? Is this the focus that we're dealing with right now? So then I'd have to go through this process back in the day because it made me feel self-conscious. I would go through this explanation of where I was from and why I spoke the way that I spoke and et cetera, et cetera. My current husband is from the North. And if you know anything about the North and the South, we have a different way of navigating things. Not to say either one is right, but there are opinions and concepts that people in the North have about people from the South, and the same in reverse. People in the South who've never been to the North has a different opinion about people in the North, and it creates this mindset or this divide between cute things because where you are regionally. And that's not a bad thing. Having the ability to live now in multiple different regions around the U.S., I learned the beauty of that region. The reason that I equate a lot of my success, especially in business, to how I operate and how I position things and how I even think about things, I equate that to the process of me living in multiple regions. So I'm kind of this hodgepodge, but it never changed the way that I spoke. There are times that when you hear me speak as a speaker, you're going to hear the southern portion of me. You're going to hear the southwest part of me. You're going to hear the northeastern part of my conversation. You may even hear some northern dialect because I have adapted to the spaces that I have been present in for years. And that's natural. You see, this is an example of even in the movies where people from England and Ireland can come and do a series, not just a movie, but they can do long-term series and they speak just like we would in America. And until you hear them in an interview or until you hear them in their natural environment, you never knew that they were from another country. They have speech coaches that help them to articulate and enunciate the way that is familiar to the environment that they're in. I didn't have a speech coach. It's just something natural because my kids have been born in different regions. So I just picked up their different dialect and the way to speak. I say all that to say when I began to step to the stage, it wasn't like a purpose thing. That wasn't a plan. I didn't wake up one day and decide I wanted to be a global speaker. It happened organically. I wrote a book about blending families. And my concept of the book was that because I have a lot of kids and they're adults now, I just knew that I was going to sell 10 copies. That's just off the rip. 10 copies. My family was going to buy 8 and then my parents will buy 2. So that's my 10. And then I would get this out of my system. Because again, in all of the descriptions or the visions that I had for me growing up, being a speaker and an author was never one of them at all. So anyway, I wrote this book out of pain. I wrote this book because we had recently lost one of our sons. And people mean well, and everyone dropped off at the door, and everyone emailed me and texted me all of these grief books that they wanted me to read. But I wasn't in that space. Like, I didn't have the capacity to do it. I knew I was grieving, but I couldn't grieve at that point because I would implode into myself. Life still had to go on. I still had a family. And so I did something that was different than my norm. I took my laptop and I started writing what I call scenarios. I just wrote these stories about the process of me blending, my husband and I blending our family together. I call it the great corporate merger. And I just happened to one day, a friend of mine, during that time, I had limited communications with my friends. I lost a lot of friends, along with the loss of my son, because they didn't understand why I didn't have the capacity to speak. So I just want to put a pin right here. If you have someone that has lost someone, a family member, a parent, a child, my advice is you don't have to fix them. My advice is to take the cues from them and give them grace. Everyone handles grief in a different way. There are some people that push through because that's what they know. There are some people that sink in. There are some people that are somewhere in between. And there's some people who just don't know. Like, I have no idea how I'm supposed to make it through this every day. I had sticky notes on the mirror to say things like, did you put underwear on? Or remember to brush your teeth. Because that's how, what I needed, the tools, I had to go very simple. So I couldn't absorb a lot of things and executable items. I just couldn't do it. So I retracted into something that I knew, something that was familiar for me. And I got myself lost in these scenarios. And it was funny because writing these scenarios were based, some of it was based off of my family experiences, but in involving and ingraining myself or submerging myself in these scenarios helped me to feel human. It helped me to breathe. It helped me to know that when the sun comes up again, I'm going to be okay for that moment. Take it at a moment. Well, anyway, one of the limited friends that I did have communication with, she asked me what was I doing, and I just happened to tell her about these scenarios. And so she said, oh, well, send me one. So I sent her one of the scenarios, and I figured it would be something that we could share. We've shared a lot in our life. She lost her mother when she was in high school, and then back to back, she lost her mother, her sister. She had a baby. She went through a whole bunch of things that, and a lot of changes in her life that we went through together. So that's just kind of our place in each other's lives. We don't talk to each other every day, but we know that when that other person is in a low, we show up for them, and we show up in a manner that's not invasive. We show up in a manner that is not defensive. We show up in a manner, just a space. Sometimes we can just sit on the phone and just breathe. We don't have the words for it, but I'm here on the other line, sis. I'm just going to breathe, and we're going to cry it out. We're going to cuss it out. We're going to do whatever we need to do. Well, I sent her this scenario because, again, I thought this was just something we were going to share. And I was surprised when she came back and said, you need to publish this. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. That don't even make sense. And so she talked me into publishing the book. In one of these podcast episodes, I'm going to talk about that publishing process. It was traumatic. But anywho, I ended up publishing the book. The book is called Unspoken, Real Talk of Today's Blended Family. And to my surprise, again, back to what I originally said, I just knew 10 copies was going to get out there and I would be done with that process. But it went international. It went global. It became a bestseller before I even knew what a bestseller was. And where other people were like, wow, you should have been excited. I was completely confused, you guys. Let me tell you about success. Success doesn't come to you in the package like what the movies give you. It doesn't look like what speakers and experts make you picture your success is going to look like. Success could be as confusing. It could sneak up on you. It doesn't look like success because it wasn't like I became some billionaire off of these copies. What happened was it expanded my reach into people and spaces that didn't know I existed, which then organically brought me into speaking engagements talking about blending families. So I originally started out, and I call myself your relationship surgeon, because we would talk about relationships. We talked about those experiences of loss and how do we communicate with each other. We talked about marriage and we talked about children. And so I was your relationship surgeon, but there was a portion of that was missing the aspect of the real me, which was business. I've always been in business. I cut my leadership teeth at the age of 19. Probably shouldn't have, but I did. And so I've always been in this business environment and was able to navigate through it from a different lens than a lot of people that was around me, which built the companies that I worked for, their successes. And so I transitioned in from your relationship surgeon into your business surgeon, so that I could still be able to navigate the things that I'm passionate about. But that doesn't mean that I don't still talk about relationships, because your business is a relationship. And I had to make peace with that. But back to the original thing of this podcast, the original reason for this podcast. As I started getting these opportunities to speak, which should have been exciting. Remember, I said success doesn't look like you think it's supposed to. So I should have been excited because I was successfully being called to stages all across the country. People on different continents knew about me. That was success, but it didn't feel like success for me because the insecurity of all of those people who said, why does she talk like that? Or people who tried to change how I enunciate something or how I pronounce something or the structure of the sentence that I said, all that stuff flared back up again. all of those laughters, those jokes about, oh, well, listen to Michelle. Listen to how she said, Michelle, say this, you know, and I'm not anybody's puppet. I'm an adult. I'm a grown person. So don't play with me like that. But instead of me having the strength to stand up for myself, it created a valley of insecurity. I couldn't do this podcast today if I hadn't gotten to the point that I made peace with who I was. And the way that I made peace was I had to ask myself one day, who decided how I'm supposed to speak? Like, who created that rule? Who said that you had to speak a certain way or enunciate a certain way for you to be intelligent, for you to know what you know, for you to be able to help people? Who made that rule? And when I couldn't figure out who made that rule, then I decided that there wasn't a rule. I decided that how God created me, how I interpret things, how I enunciate and pronounce things has nothing to do with what I know. It is people's problem with how I speak, not my problem, but it's people's problem. And why do they have that problem? Because people cannot process what they do not understand. It is not your space to make people understand why you dress the way that you do, why your hair is the way that it is, why your eyes or your eye color or whatever the dynamics of things that people want you to feel like makes you different. Let that go and feeling like you have to conform to other people's version of who you are. And when I began to sit in the space that I could look myself in the mirror and I could feel proud about who I was, when I was able to understand that how I am and how God created me is the unique qualities of me, then I stopped feeling motivated and encouraged to explain myself to other people. My podcast is my podcast. How I speak is how I speak. It may not be for everybody, and that's okay. But for the people that it does connect with, for the people who know me, for the people who understand my heart, the people that follow me day after day and year after year and travel around the globe with me, they do this because they know that I know what I know. They don't do this because they want to laugh at how I talk. They don't do this because they want to judge how I dress. They don't do this because they want to judge my hair or my height or my weight or anything that's happening. They do it because I help them navigate through the barriers and the problems and give them ethical, vetted, actionable solutions that help them build their own success. So take time out as you are building your business. It is a baby. It is an organic process for you to continue to evolve into the person that makes you happy with your success. If you're spending so much time trying to make other people happy, you're going to miss the mark. You're going to miss the enjoyment of this ride. If you spend most of your time trying to explain yourself, excuse yourself, and emulate someone else that you think that people would prefer better, you're missing the beauty and the glory and the uniqueness of you. Be whoever you are. Make sure that you speak to the audience that needs who you are as you are and why you are the way that you are. I can communicate with people in multiple different languages and regions because I'm authentic and true to myself. I may not say something the same way that someone else on stage says. But here's what I want you to understand. Your voice, your message is an assignment for someone else's success. the way that you articulate things, the way that you pronounce things, the way that you enunciate things is a tuning fork for someone out there. Because you can say the very same words that I can say, that he can say, that she can say, but the way that you, just the uniqueness of you, the way that you say the very same words can wake up success in someone else's soul because of who you are and how you are. So how you walk, how you dress, how you look, how you show up is a beacon for someone else's success. Don't allow someone to teach you like they taught me to suppress who I was because I was waiting on perfection. I was waiting on acceptance. Ask yourself, who told you that? Or who made that rule? And everything that you're doing, as long as it is authentic to the person that God created you to be, walk in that space. And if there are people out there, I was told this by my 19-year-old, listen, from the mouths of babes, you guys, I remember struggling about doing a podcast or putting myself out there on YouTube because I felt like that I had to be perfect. And what if I said something that people didn't like? And what if someone puts bad comments and all this other stuff? And my son just happened to be in the room as I'm in this spiral. And I said to him, I said, so what do I need to do? And just as simple as he could say it. And at first, I didn't know whether I should be mad at the way that he said it or I should take the advice. But what he said to me was, who cares? He said, look, I'm not trying to be funny with this, Mom, but you came up in the era. You talk about the fact that you were corporate trainers and that caused you to train in a required process that spoke to the company, right? And I said, yeah. He said, well, now you're trying to take the same process and apply it to your own business. Why can't you just be you? People connect with you on a day-to-day basis because of who you are. They know what you look like. They don't connect with you because your makeup is perfect. They don't connect with you because you say everything perfectly. They don't connect with you because you dress a certain way. They connect with you because the way that you speak to them, you touch them, you move them, you give them something, and you give them hope. You give them something to hold on to, but you give them action items for them to execute and be able to find their level of success. So why is that any different when you're in person? In the grocery store, he was like, you know, all of us, every last one of us talk to each other. You know, my kids talk to each other about me and they're like, oh my God, don't take Mom to a store because she talks to everybody. She's always trying to save somebody. Well, it's not on purpose. It's just who I am. I'm always trying to speak life into people. And he's like, but you could be standing out there in some sweatpants and a t-shirt and your hair in a ponytail, but you're still able to reach those people. So why can't you reach them in the same manner online? And you guys, when he said it, I was like, wow. Like, that's a word right there. He was like, so who cares if there are people out there? There are people that are trolling all the time that are there just to interrupt, just there to have their 5 minutes of fame, and you're not going to be able to please everybody. But if you never do it, then you're not able to reach the people that really need to hear from you. So go and record something. Do your podcast. Do your YouTube channel. And if there are people out there that doesn't like it, then guess what? There's so many options out there. They don't have to listen to it. So I'm going to give you the advice of my 19-year-old. Do what you need to do. Look at yourself in the natural. When you're out there at the kids' softball game or you're out there at the grocery store, who are you? You're not on camera. You're not trying to position yourself into this. So who is that person? And if that person's able to connect with people, if that person's able to reach someone, if that person has an attraction for other people, then why can't that very same person achieve the same success online or on camera? Who told us that we had to look a certain way and speak a certain way and dress a certain way and show up a certain way just because the camera's on? I don't know. But I'm telling you guys, I'm loving the fact that I'm getting, as old as I am now in a space that I am loving the flaws of me, the good of me, the bad of me, who I am, just being me. And I want to encourage you to do the same. That's my time. I appreciate any and everybody that tunes in. The one request that I have is if this touched you and you know someone else that needs to hear this, share it. Share it with someone else. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. We are building that channel up now. It's called The Color of Success. I have a new book that's out. It is called Building While Broken, Today's Woman's Guide to Building Her Empire While Overcoming a Lifetime of Setbacks. So go to my website. You can find it at buildingwhilebroken.live if you want to order a copy. We have a whole ecosystem that we've built around this Building While Broken because it's more of a community thing. Starting in December 1st, I don't know when you're going to hear this podcast, but starting in December 1st, 2024, we are launching a peer support group for Building While Broken where women leaders can join. We're going to go through the book, but we're going to go through these resource guides that accompany this book to help you in a safe space be able to talk through some of the setbacks, the barriers, the feelings, the insecurities that we all experience. But ladies, we're going to talk about it because it's a safe space. We cannot build what we need to build in a silo system. And the more that you spend in a space of feeling like that you have to hide what you're feeling, hide who you are, I got to be perfect before I show up, the longer that you are robbing someone else of the success that you are to speak into their lives, that you are supposed to deliver into their lives through your products or through your services. So get your copy today. Join us. We have a virtual book launch that's happening on Thanksgiving. This is 2024. If you're listening to this years from now, but Thanksgiving 2024, you're going to see a virtual book launch of this on The Color of Success. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I've never done a virtual book launch before, so don't judge it. I'm going to do what I feel like is necessary to get and connect with the audience. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some laughs. But most of all, we're going to learn how to enjoy building our empires while overcoming our lifetime of setbacks. I'll see you on the virtual book launch. I hope to see you in the peer support group. But mostly, subscribe to the channel, stay tuned with Trailblazers, and let's keep growing, ladies. Again, I am your host, Dr. Michelle S. Thomas. This has been another enjoyable episode of Trailblazers. I'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to another amazing episode of the Trailblazers Business Podcast for Women. Until next time, remember, be inspirational, be legendary, but most of all, be exceptionally you.